I want us to open our Bibles tonight to the book of Psalm chapter 46, please. Psalm chapter 46. Boy, I love the singing tonight. Those ladies stood to sing, and if angels can do better, we'll have to go to heaven to hear it. What a touch of the Lord. That's true singing to God. Singing unto the Lord and making melody in your heart. I'm glad also for that homecoming day, aren't you? What a day that's going to be. We find that it, Psalm 46 is, this chapter is given to us in three divisions. Each division ends with the word Selah. Notice, if you will, beginning in verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. I'm glad in verse 1, 2, and 3 we have a refuge from the enemy. Verse 4, there is a river, the streams of God whereof make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved, he uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us, that the God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. I'm glad we have a river for energy. Not only a refuge from the enemy, but a river for energy. Verse number 8, come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he has made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. I'm glad we have a refuge from the enemy, a river for energy, and a ruler for eternity. And all of that's given to us in the same person, our God, who is our refuge. It's mentioned three times. I'm interested tonight in the middle portion of this chapter, where the Bible says in verse 4, there is a river, and the streams thereof, or whereof, shall make glad the city of God. I want to preach tonight, God been a helper, on there is a river. Let's ask God for help and direction. Father, thank you for the privilege you've given us together today. Thank you for what our hearts have experienced. Lord, we love coming here. Thank you for this work. Lord, sometimes I'm afraid that the folk don't really understand what they have. God, if they only knew the condition of churches across the country, they would certainly praise you on a daily basis for what you've given them here. Thank you, Lord, that you're still God in this place. And I pray now that your blessings would be on them. I pray for the upcoming camp meeting next week. I pray, God, that it would be a manifestation of the power of the Holy Ghost. And I pray that the glory of God would be their portion. And the church would be strengthened. God would be worshipped and glorified. and sinners would be saved by the grace of God. Now help us tonight. You know our need. You know my need spiritually, physically, and in every way I need you tonight. Thank you, Father, and may your will be done, for it is in Jesus' wonderful and blood-stained name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to deal tonight. This is a country boy message, so I'm sure we'll probably understand it. But I want to preach on there is a river. I want to deal, first of all, tonight with the river and its beginning. There's got to be a beginning point of every river. Now, there's a good number of rivers that traverse through our nation. I was studying the workings and the maneuverings of the Tennessee River. I'm from the state of Tennessee, so I was raised on the Tennessee River in somewhat. And I became interested in that. I was doing some background and had some research on the Tennessee River. And I found out that the Tennessee River runs up. Well, of course, it don't run up. It runs down. But it begins up through the Great Lakes on up into Canada. And it comes, it issues out from under a rock. And I thought, oh my, certainly I'm glad that God has a river. And that river comes from the rock of ages. Isn't that wonderful? I thought about this river of God and its fountainhead. Where did it originate? Bible says in Isaiah chapter 32 and verse 1, behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment, and a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. It says that man, all of these facets, at this rock and this river and this covert, and it says all of these things, this hiding place, is going to come from one man. And that one man, of course, was the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, it's always Jehovah. And I'm glad in the new, it's Jesus. Amen. Jehovah Jesus is a hiding place. And He's a river in a dry land. The fountainhead of this river issues from the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one. Now we understand that the river, and we'll talk more about it in a moment, is a picture and the type of the Holy Ghost. It's running from a high place to a low place. Amen. I'm glad tonight that this river issues from a man. Let me say to you, it's from a sinless man. There's never been a man like from where this river comes from. Bible says in Hebrews 7, verse 26, for such an high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. There's never been one like Him, and there'll never be one like Him. What a Savior. What a privilege to know Him. What a great privilege to be able to drink from the water that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a sinless man. And then let me say, this river issues from a smitten man. You remember over there in Exodus 17, they've come out of Egypt now, and they're needing water to drink. God said, or Noah, Moses goes to God, and God said, Moses, here's what I'm going to do. He said, you take the rod that separated the sea. That's what He said. The rod that separated the sea. And He said, I want you to go, and I'll go before you, and I'll stand up on the rock
Horeb. And he said, I want you to smite the rock with that rod. And the Bible said that he did, and waters gushed forth, and the people were refreshed from the water out of the rock. But the rock had to be smitten before it could ever give forth water. Bible says in Psalm 105:41 that the rock was smitten and God let it run like a river in dry places. Hallelujah. I'm glad that this river comes from a smitten rock. Yonder on Calvary's hill, they smote the rock of ages. But I'm glad the rock of ages got up from the ground and descended back to heaven. And from there, there's a river running that if you're thirsty, you can get a drink. Amen. So I see the fountainhead of this river. Not only that, but I see the furtherance of it. Did you know that a river always continues? It always goes. I thought about how that the Lord Jesus came to this lowland of sorrow. And that God needed a body. Listen carefully here. God had to have a body to maneuver in, to work in on this earth. So God, Jesus was birthed through the virgin womb of Mary, and it was God manifest in the flesh. But God manifest in the flesh was crucified on Calvary. But he arose and ascended back to heaven. Well, let me say that the body that he inhabited when he came, he took back with him. Don't ever forget that. There was a time when there was no man in heaven. It was all angelic beings and spirit. But Jesus went back yonder, hallelujah, with a human body. And that lets me and you know that one day we're going to go yonder. Hey, and we're going to be just like him, for we'll see him as he is. So Jesus went back and he kept the body. That was that inhabited God. He kept that body. Well, somebody said, preacher, how does he get his work done now? Through another body. Now, it's not a perfect body, but it will be one day. And that body, when the Holy Ghost ascended, just like when Jesus was birthed, he took on the form of a human. Amen. And when the church was born, she was birthed in a body. Hallelujah. And that body is the furtherance of this river. That body, which is the church, is the right hand, the right arm extension of the Lord Jesus. You and I are still in the business of doing what Jesus did, reconciling the world unto himself. Somebody said, well now, preacher, are you sure? Oh, I'm sure that you and I, that saved by the grace of God, we're the continuation through the power of the Holy Ghost of the ministry of the Lord Jesus. We don't have the ministry of healing and raising the dead. None of that. No, that all of that's over. We have the full canon of Scripture. But you and I on this earth, as the church, is the body which God is furthering the ministry of Himself. If you'll think about that, it will cause you to want to do the will of God more than we've ever done. Because that is the work of God on this earth. He's doing it through the body of the church. But now, when the Holy Spirit came, I'm glad that He took up His abode in the believer. Ooh, can you believe that a God that spoke everything into existence lives in me? And lives in you? I wish you would just meditate on that for a moment. The great big God of glory lives in me. I can't explain it. I'm just glad it's so. But I thought about in John chapter 7. And let me just deal with this for a moment. John chapter 7 is that chapter is dealing with the week and the life of the Lord. It's the Feast of the Tabernacles. Jesus doesn't go up at the beginning of the feast in the first part. But He sends His disciples. The last time He went, they tried to stone Him. Jesus goes at, but the Bible says in verse 14 of John 7, in the midst of the week, about the middle of the week, Brother Mike, Jesus goes up to Jerusalem. Now, whether He went in disguise or not, I don't know. All I know is that He goes and begins to teach in the synagogue. And then, toward the end of the week, He moves from the synagogue into the temple. The temple area there. And the Bible says in verse 37, in that last day of the feast, it's the last day of the Feast of the Tabernacle. And it says that great day, something about the last day being the great day. Now I can see, and history tells us, that there had been some rituals that had been added to those festivity weeks. And one of the rituals at the end of the Feast of the Tabernacles was that the high priest that was officiating at that time would take up one of the golden cups from the temple and would go to the pool of Siloam, and he would dip up a cup of water, and he would bring that cup of water back to the offering altar, and he would pour that water on that altar, signifying that the festivities of the week of tabernacles was concluded. And I could see it in my mind's eye. When that high priest began to pour that water, that ritual that would amount to nothing, Bible said that Jesus stood and cried, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Ha! Woo! I could see it. He couldn't handle it anymore. He said, here they're going through their dead rituals, but if anybody's thirsty, I've got water. Hallelujah. And then He said this. He said, he that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said. Now, drinking of Him and believing on Him would be equivalent. It would be the same thing. Believing on Him and drinking of Him is the same thing. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said. Now watch it. Out of his belly, out of his innermost being, shall flow rivers. Plural. Not a little dried up stream, but rivers of living water. And the Bible says in parentheses, but this spake He of the Spirit, which they that believe on Him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. But Jesus was glorified. He went back to heaven, and 50 days later, after He arose, and God sent the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. And you know what He said? He said, those that believe have partaken of Him out of their bellies, out of their innermost being, out of their passion, shall flow rivers of living water. That's the furtherance of this river. You understand what I'm saying? He that is within you wants to get out so He can further this ministry of the Holy Ghost. Listen carefully. There is a river tonight, but He's dammed up in a lot of us. Amen. There is a river, but He's not operative in many of us. But oh, if we can get those places cleaned out, let the river flow again. Here I am back where I was this morning. If we can get cleaned up and let the river flow again. Somebody said, preacher, don't you know what day we're living in? I do know what day we're living in. That's why we need the river to flow. There's still people that's thirsty. There's still people that's unsaved. And you and I is the furtherance of this river. Y'all understanding what I'm preaching? We are the furtherance. The furtherance of this river. I thought about how that a river always runs from the highest of the high to the lowest of the low. If you ever want to find the lowest place, run water on it. Water always seeks out the low spots. Well, could I say this? When that river left the highest of the high, it came to the lowest of the low. And I'm telling you, when I got saved, you couldn't have got any lower than where I was. But I'm glad that the highest of the high came to the lowest of the low, so that the lowest of the low could go to the highest of the high. Aren't you glad for the river tonight? Jesus came to the lowland of sorrow. Came from the highest of high. Got on the elevator of grace and said, "Down, please." Came down to where the angels were. He said, "On down, please." Came down to where we were and was made like us. Oh, let me say it like this. The only way you can get into heaven is go through the door. But if the door had stayed in heaven, we'd have never got there. But I'm glad God unhinged the door from heaven and sent him to this lowland of sorrow and hinged the door on an old rugged cross, and whosoever will can enter in. Just like in Noah's day, God put the door on the bottom floor. If you wanted to go through the third story, you had to get in the door on the bottom floor. And if you want to go to the third heaven, you got to get in the door that's on the bottom floor. Hallelujah! I'm glad that you and I, He came to where we were. He came from the highest of the high to the lowest of the low. Oh, what a Savior. You know, just mention this here. The river... A river runs in both directions. I remember when I was a boy, there was a young man in our school that drowned. And the people that were with him showed the place where he was when he went under. They drug the river for him. They didn't find him a week later. Until a week later, you know where he was? He was a mile and a half upstream. Somebody said, "Well, how in the world could that happen?" Because on the top, there's such a force that's a running south that way down deep, it creates such a force that's called currents, undercurrents, that's called eddies. And they run in the opposite direction. You say, "What does that mean, preacher?" I'm glad this river runs both ways. I'm glad that He not only came from there to us, but I'm glad now I need to get a word from here to there, and the river is running in both directions. Well, let me move on. I see the river in its beginning. Let me just mention this in passing. I want to get to point three, and that's probably as far as we'll go. But I see the river and its boundaries. River and its boundaries. All other bodies of water, the ocean, sea, a lake, a pond, that water is governed by all sides. In other words, it's governed by all sides. But a river is only governed by two sides. In other words, it runs that same course all the time. And it's governed by two sides. You say, "What do you mean, preacher?" Well, the Holy Ghost of God, the river, runs right in between the banks, right in between the covers of this blessed old Word of God. And He never operates outside of it. Somebody said, "Well, this is what I believe the Holy Ghost wants me to do." If you can't find it in here, it may be a ghost, but it won't be the Holy One. Trying to tell you, He always operates right in the pages of this blessed book. Hallelujah! For the boundaries of the river. Amen. When I say this blessed old book, I'm talking to you about the 1611 King James Bible. Somebody said, "Preacher, that's too narrow-minded." On a narrow way. And that's just the way it is. God's always used it. And He never operates outside of here. Now let me just run a rabbit here. And this is just a play on words. But a lot of times we say concerning a great meeting or our desires, boy, I wish the river would get out of Banks. Listen carefully to me. I understand the terminology. But as long as the river stays in Banks, no damage is done. But if the river ever gets out of Banks, that's when damage is done. Could I say this to you? It's just to play on words now. But I'm just simply saying to you, we don't need the river to get out of Banks. We just need to get in the river. You can get just as wet by getting in the river as you can the river getting to you. Hey, that is right. And as long as that, as the Holy Ghost, the true Holy Ghost, never gets out of Banks, He operates right in between the pages of this blessed book. So, I see the river and its boundaries. But I want to talk to you thirdly about, and listen carefully, about the river and its burdens. Here's my heart tonight. We've seen the river in its beginning, the river and its boundaries, and the river and its burden. My wife had open heart surgery in 02, April the 16th. She had an aneurysm behind the aorta valve. And 95% of folk never survived that. And the doctor kept telling her, well, you're just getting older. Well, that didn't sit well with Rhonda. She was getting short of breath, and she said, well, I'm getting old fast. But anyway, to make a long story short, they found that aneurysm behind the aorta valve. She has a Ross procedure. She had both valves replaced with human valves. Somebody else had to die to give her life. And I took care of her for 9 weeks. 9 weeks. I came off of the road, and she said, honey, you're a better preacher than you are. Doctor said. And I had to go back on the road for several reasons. And I remember when I first went back on the road, I was headed to Louisiana. Sometimes I fly. That time I didn't have the ability to fly, so I had to drive. And I left home early on a Saturday morning, and I didn't want to leave. And I was headed down to Louisiana, and I come down to Chattanooga, Tennessee, and picked up 59, went through Georgia and Alabama and all the way down through Mississippi, and come into Louisiana, and just a few miles down 59, Interstate 10 turns, or Interstate 12 turns west off of 59. And it heads towards Baton Rouge. You, Brother Ken, you've been down through there, and most of you have, I'm sure. But when you get to the end of Interstate 12, where Interstate 12 and Interstate 10 intersect, right there at Baton Rouge, in about 3 miles, after you hit 10, heading on toward Houston, there's a huge Skyway bridge that spans the Gulf of Mexico, that spans the Mississippi River that's dumping into the Gulf of Mexico. And it's a long bridge. And I started up that bridge and slowed down to somewhere around probably 80. And the Holy Ghost nudged me, and He said, and my heart was heavy. And He nudged me, and He said, son, I'll teach you something on top of this bridge if you'll listen. So I really did slow down then. And I started up that bridge, and I got up on top, and I didn't have time to look long now. But I looked right, I looked north, and I looked south. And what I had saw many times before but never saw, I saw it this time. There was that massive river, that massive body of water. And on the back of that river, and I don't think I'd be exaggerating by saying there was billions of tons of cargo from ships all over the world, probably coming up into those harbor, up in that harbor, into those docks. There were barges loaded with no telling what. The Holy Ghost said, "Now what do you see?" I said, "I see a loaded river." And he said, "Son, there's in you a river. And you don't have to carry this load you're trying to carry. You got a river in you that can carry you and your load." And then it began to work on me. And I thought the more weight you put on the river, the higher it gets. You can't ever overload it. You just can't. I don't care how much weight you put on it. You cannot overload the river. I got on off of that bridge, went on out a few miles into the swamps and pulled off on a side exit and act just like one of those Cajuns. I said, "Hallelujah! Praise God for the river." And I'm telling you, since that day, there's been an ability that's given to us by God that we can cast all of our care upon Him, for He careth for us. I'm glad that we can cast our burden on the Lord, and He will sustain thee. There is in you a river that you can't overload with your burdens. He can bear up under them all. Oh, thank God for the river. Boy, I'm glad it ain't nobody but us tonight. I'm having a time. Hey, I'm glad that in you is the person of the Holy Ghost who is our burden bearer. Listen, our burden bearer. Listen, I thought about this. I thought about there's burdens that's crushing burdens. There's some of you that's in situations right now that's got you knocked completely down. Got you torn apart. But if you're saved by the grace of God, there's a river in you that's got the potential to bear you up under those crushing burdens. Give Him a chance. Quit trying to carry it all yourself. That's why He died on Calvary. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He's bore my sorrow. Can I tell you something? It was a blessed day in my life when I realized that God, that the Lord Jesus not only died for my sin, but He died for my sorrow. Isaiah 53. He was a man of sorrow. But He not only died for my sin, but He died for my sorrow. Just like He can forgive me of my sin, He can relieve me of my sorrow. There's crushing burdens. There's church burdens. I know of a lot of pastors tonight that's going down under the load because they're trying to carry the church on their shoulders. Could I tell you, there is a river. And the river is sailing the old ship of Zion on toward home. It's beaten and it's battered, but it don't matter. It's on the back of the river. And the river is a carrying it on home. Hey, sir, you don't have to carry the ship. The river can carry you and the ship. The ship was not made to be carried by man. The ship was made to carry man. And I'm glad the church can carry the people on home that's carried on the back of the river. I thought about this. There's not only crushing burdens and church burdens, but some of you are dealing with children burdens. And I know that I'm preaching right because this is in every church I preach in. You got kids that's absolutely about to take you under. And I don't know who you are. But it's tough. I've never in all of my life seen as many grandparents raising grandchildren. And they will till they die. If the load's put on them, they will till they die. But you got children that's got you all knocked down. You remember who Jochebed was? Jochebed was Moses' mama. Jochebed gave birth to a goodly boy. She didn't name him Moses. Pharaoh's daughter did. I don't know what Jochebed named him. We don't know. We know his name's Moses. His mama didn't name him that. We'll find out one day what his mama named him. But that, in essence, in that day, they was murdering kids. And Moses' mama wanting for this abortion bill. So she said, I'm not killing my boy. So what did she do? She made a little ark out of bulrushes. Pitched it within and without. And put that little baby in that little ark. I call it the ark of prayer. That's pitched without with mercy and within with grace. And put that little boy in that ark of prayer and took him and slid him out in the what? In the river. Slid that little boy out in the river in that ark. Woo! And if you learn to put your kids in the river spiritually, God's got a way of getting them out and using them for His glory. Amen. I could see Moses in that river. Somebody said, preacher, I've done everything I know to do. Have you put them in the river? And let me say this. When you want God to do something for them, you have to take your hands off. It doesn't mean that you don't care. It doesn't mean that you're not concerned any longer. It just means you can't fix it. And when you remove your hands, you're admitting you know you can't fix it. But you're putting it in the hands of one who can fix anything or anybody. And you take your hands off. It's hard to do. Some love is hard love. But you take your hands off. And boy, when Miss Jochebed took her hands off and said, I can't hide him anymore. He's got too big for me to handle. I can't hide him anymore. She slid him in the river, and when she did, she put him in the hands of God. There is a river. Thank y'all for sharing that with us at the lunch table. There is a river! Mama, there's a God that's able to take care of it. Daddy, there's a God that's able to take care of it. If you could just remove your hands, God will put His hands in. Let me say this. And I'm done. I got two more points, but I'm done. Let me say this right here. As I've done mentioned, some love is hard love. Hard love. You do things that you don't want to do, but you have to because you love. Do you know why in Luke 15, you know why the prodigal came home? You know why he came home? Because daddy didn't finance the far country for him. Daddy gave him what belonged to him. Now this may hurt right here, but I'm not saying this to hurt, it's to help. If daddy had kept sending him 100 along,
Or if he had a grandpa or a grandma that kept sending him 100 along, he'd have died in a far country. He would have never come home. Sometimes love is hard love. Sometimes you got to cut the supply off that's keeping them out there. Did you hear that? Sometimes you got to cut that supply off that's keeping them out there. And I don't know how I got here. But I'm simply saying, if we say, "Oh God, would you deal with them?" And God starts dealing with them and we bail them out. That is right. God starts making it hard on them and we start making it easy for them. God can fix it if we'll give it to Him. When the prodigal got hungry, boy, the hardest thing for moms and dads and grandmoms and granddads to do is to see kids and grandkids hurting. That's tough. That's hard. But let me ask you this. Would you rather see them hungry on the way home or full and drop off into hell?
Yes,
sir. There is a river, Mom. There is a river, Daddy. It would probably be good tonight if those that have these type situations would make this altar a night an unloading dock. And we pull up here and we say, "Lord, I'm a casting it all on the river." He's a great God. He loves you more than you'll ever know. And He cares for you more than we could ever care. He does care. There is a river. I wanted to talk about its blessings and its benefits. But I'm done. This is where God said stop. He's a wonderful God. You can't do wrong by submitting everything to Him. Even your children. I'm finished. Let's stand, please.